I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 272, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, yeah! A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Monday, January 23rd, 2023.
Oh, whoa, good day, yeah.
Good date to you, sir.
2-3-2-3,
and
yes.
A good date to you as well.
Thank you so much. I will take these Mejdul dates and eat them happily. But today's date is also National Handwriting Day and National Pie Day, like P-I-E, eating. We know Pie Day's, if your mathematics, that's March 14th. But we're talking about P-I-E, pie, today.
They should have combined those. Just a note to the big to big pie. You should combine it with the other one. Hop on it.
That's like when I feel like all the like engineer like math nerds I knew were like they had pie parties. Like it's like come over for pie day. Like made a selection of pies. They kind of go hand in hand.
That is how they talk too.
You handwrite, Jack?
Do I handwrite?
You doing some handwriting?
I got a handwriting. I've got some of that. Yeah. I do a lot of handwriting actually. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Free handwriting just to get the mind working in the morning, you know?
Oh, shit. No, I've been writing thank you cards, you know, for people getting us baby gifts and stuff. So I've been doing like so much handwriting that I'm like, oh, I missed this. I feel like I'm back in school having to do an essay in handwriting.
I must report to Zeitgang as a recipient of one of said thank you notes. Miles has beautiful handwriting.
Yeah,
beautiful,
baby.
Cool looking handwriting.
It's like, all block letters.
The best. You know, imagine what you think Miles's handwriting's like. It's the best interpretation. It's not like frilly or anything. It's just like when the man puts the pen somewhere he meant to.
Yeah.
You know?
You can. I think any like writing and that like analyst would be like, you are putting a lot of pressure on that pen. Like I'm digging deep with that thing. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's a lot of tension there.
Yeah.
That was the other thing we remarked on. Good handwriting and, oh boy, there's a lot going on there.
Relax, sir.
Yeah. Anyways, my name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, a.k.a. Perturters O'Brien. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, it's me, because my artwork is in La Reina Sofia and the El Prado. Call me Salvador Daddy.
Hey.
Eventually, not quite yet, but... yes, that will probably be a new nickname soon. Shout out to Christy Yamaguchi, man, for that wonderful. He must have known I was in España over the summer, in which I did take in some wonderful works by Goya and Dali, of course. And obviously,
of course.
Picasso as well.
Miles, enough beating around. We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious dad. Enough with the shit about you being an impending father or whatever.
Have you seen some art?
We got a heater today.
Yeah.
Hilarious stand-up comedian, comedy writer, actor, fashion icon, whose shirts are available at Guarantee Shirts.
Yeah.
One of our all-time favorite TDZ guest, one of y'all's favorite TDZ guests, the brilliant, the raw, the major, Caitlin Gilf!
Caitlin Gilf!
This is me hugging the Zygang. I hope you can all feel it. Everybody just got a consensual hug. Only those who want one if you're not into that or being
We're huggers. Most of us are huggers.
You're fine. Most of you are probably... I feel like it's a huggy crowd. Yeah. Also, I knew, Miles, that you had excellent handwriting. I knew it. I felt it in my bones that your handwriting was cultivated and exquisite.
Yeah,
I am pleased
thank you.
To hear that you know, that was correct.
It's
Hi, what wonderful praise. It is a pleasure, as always, to join you in your lovely third seat. Thank you.
It's wonderful so to have you here. What's your handwriting looking like?
Fast. It is hurried. My handwriting looks like I am thinking about the next sentence already and would like to get it on the page, please.
Do you have like hybrid cursive printing handwriting? Because you know how people, like when I hear people who write fast, I always envision like that hybrid cursive while also printing. Is that you?
Yeah, it is. It's a little, a lot of letters I've just trained to run together in something like normal. They're not the shape of a cursive letter, but I'm not lifting a pencil. Who's got the time?
Right.
I'm busy.
You got to.
I will show you a to-do list that has my handwriting on it.
Yeah, I was just taking notes about what a guest needs to know on this stained book. And I feel like even backwards, you know that that's exactly what it would look like.
I will have this is a to-do list that I discovered while cleaning out my closet from over, I think, probably 2 years ago. I've accomplished half of the things on this to-do list.
Not bad.
Put it down.
Well, you didn't specify. What if the goals were like climb multiple mountains?
But one of the items on the to-do list is just Havana syndrome.
Get to a bottom of.
How high on the list is that, can I ask? How long have you been writing a list before you were like, you know what, I got to get on here?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's
10
the 10th item. Havana syndrome. Just enough said, future self.
Of course.
You know what this means.
Shit.
Oh, man.
It's like shitty memento. It's like, what? Havana syndrome? Yeah, man. Figure it out.
Solve the JFK assassination. Havana syndrome.
What else you got there? Climate change.
Area 51.
One of my favorite jokes in the world, Sean Keane wrote himself so he would remember it because he knew he was not in a state to remember it when it occurred to him at the time. And it is a list of soy cheese names that make me laugh like... I've heard that. I request that joke anytime I can make Sean Keane do it for me. And when next time you talk to comedian Sean Keane or listen to him, I highly encourage that you shout out soy cheeses. I will just cite my favorite, Monterey John. I swear it's the best thing I've ever heard! Monterey John!
Oh, I love that.
But that was in a note he left himself and discovered. The meaning of which I'm so thankful he retained. Can you imagine just opening your phone to see the phrase Monterey John and having no frame of reference? What were you thinking? Why has this been written? What past self decided that was a necessary note? I remain ever thankful that Sean held on to just enough shreds of that memory to put together one of my favorite pieces of stand-up material of all time.
It also relies on a knowledge that Jack is a nickname for John, which the majority of the United States does not have. I will have you know, as somebody who is a born John who goes by Jack. Most people are like, why the hell do you do that? That's strange.
'Cause you can.
Yeah.
I'm a Catherine derivative. I can go so many ways. Katie.
That's right.
I just can't stop starting with Kat, but all the Kate ones are allowed too.
Yeah.
Somehow I feel like Courtney sneaks in. I could just do it if I wanted.
Why not?
Yeah.
If you're feeling sassy.
I'm Courtney now.
And Miles, you just have a cool name. So you're like, yeah, I'm good.
Oh, Miles, I would touch that.
I've said it before. I always wanted to be DJ in the 90s.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I was like, why aren't I DJ?
Precious man.
That felt like the sickest name. And I remember, I was like, yo, this name is fucking bullshit. Why can't that
like
be
DJ? Tanner.
Yeah. Other kid.
That is such a 90s thing.
Oh, yeah. This one kid, DJ, was like the coolest kid like in my grade. Yeah. Like at the time, they're like, oh, she's surfing and shit. Like he's like, you know, he's like a good surfer when we were like 10. You know what I mean? So he was killing it. Now he's like a storied lifeguard in Oahu. Like he never strayed from his like beach path as a human being. Now he's like,
this is what I'm good at.
Once a DJ, always a DJ. That's a game you have to swing into hard.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't back down from your choices as a DJ.
Exactly. Yeah. In a way, I'm glad I did not pursue that name switch, and I stayed with Miles, and that led me towards kept me on my musical path. So, yeah.
Well played.
Yeah. Very well. DJ could have kept you on a very different musical path.
It would have been
path.
Too on the nose, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like, and here's DJ. Like, nah, come on.
Sorry, that could be something I've been thinking about.
I personally love it, but that's not a great indicator of its quality. Well, I think, that's
trolley DJ names now are like the best. Like, there's a guy named Trilbo Swaggins who I've seen on bills in like LA. DJ Yambanyobi is another one I love. Like, those are just funny. Like, I would lean into that. But yeah, as a kid, like, I remember I was DJing under the name Prime.
Yeah.
With a one. A one for the eye, okay?
No, that's fucking around.
That was also my MC name.
On this side.
What a time to be alive.
Truly. The early 90s. I have a long thing I want to talk about that we don't have time for, about the name Michael in the late 80s, early 90s, and why it was having such a run. I don't have any answers.
It was a thing. So when I was in college, we had to have multiple mics. There was moccasin mic, second floor mic. There was tall mic. There was short mic. We had to delineate the mics. They all got a prefix handle.
And also the three most famous humans in America were all named Mike. And then the Ninja Turtles came along, and the coolest Ninja Turtle was Michelangelo.
Yeah.
Why? And then since then, not a lot of cool mics. We got Mike Pence. This is a stand-up bit I'm working out, I guess.
Yeah, go on.
Go off, King. All right.
What's fun about that is you're guaranteed to have a mic in every audience. So get ready. Put plenty in your pocket for that.
Hey, I'm a cool mic.
You get on stage. Hey, so where's Mike at? If your name's Mike, raise your hand right now. All right, Mike.
Get the fuck out of here. All right. Caitlin, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. Google laid off 12,000 people. Their stock price went up, of course. So we're going to talk about that and how the real theory on why all these tech corporations are firing everyone, just like cutting so many jobs, is because the other one did it. And they're like, well, if they did it, we should do it. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how billionaires are coping with people telling the truth about them, namely suing them. Yeah. We'll talk about state houses coming up with just the dumbest, most fucked up ways to oppress non-heterosexual people. All of that, plenty more. But first, Caitlin, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Oh, okay. Two-part answer. One very quick and brutally honest. Cabinet suspension rails. Guess who's in the middle of putting up some new kitchen cabinets or planning the process of doing so. So, I can't tell you that the search results are exciting, but there are a lot of them. They're quite informative. So if you're with me in the journey, I chose the suspension rail system. You echo into just a chamber of nothing.
What?
A lonely journey.
What is this?
And when you're Googling that, are you finding like a YouTube video that shows you how to do it, that you're like speed scrubbing through? What's your process?
The reason I was looking specifically is because I was trying to be cheap and buy cabinets that didn't include a suspension rail system, so that I did the thing where I was like, well, can I buy something to add to that cabinet? And I was like, well, now it's an expensive cabinet. You can just get one that has a suspension rail. See how you did the thing? So yeah, that was the path that I've been chasing down. The fun one, though, is that for Sundance Film Festival, it's happening now, big time in my house, as half the house works for the fest and is there in Park City now. And quite often the category, you know, online, there's a big breakdown of like what's playing and what's going on. And many years, the international shorts tab is not the most clicked upon tab. There are certainly competitions or movies that get more interest than that particular slice of the festival. But this year, because of alphabetical coincidence, I think it just worked out right. Truly, it was just supposed to be this way. It's not that they picked this person out, although who knows? But right now, for the international shorts at Sundance, the picture promoting it is of Jennifer Connelly. And I got to tell you, it's peaking. It's peaking stats. It's crushing stats. Folks are smashing to see what's going on with international shorts at Sundance. And I give credit to the face of Jennifer Connelly, which will move mice all over the world, as it turns out. Mm. Everybody wants to know what she's up to. So Congrats to those at Sundance.
I was in love with her.
Yeah, I mean,
Rocketeer.
I'm glad that International Shorts is getting some shine. Credit be to Jennifer Connelly or not. All high quality films that deserve a view.
Right.
And if it's that face that gets in there, well done.
Oh, that's fun. So are you involved in Sundance or your partner?
The sweet lady of the house. Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's got it.
For a few years, been with the festival in various capacities. So always fun to watch it grow and happen and pick up cool stuff. And
yeah, that's cool. Any news on what's coming other than Jennifer Connelly's face for all us foreign short film fans?
I wish that I had clicked beyond it. I, like the rest of the general public, was intrigued by Jennifer Connelly and literally Googled that. Sundance International Shorts Jennifer Connelly. So if you've done the same, welcome to that elite club.
There you go.
Yeah, amazing. I do hear a lot about programming, which means I can't remember what's actually happening and what is just discussed. But it is an honor to just be discussed.
Yes.
So,
what is something you think is overrated?
Oh, shit. Wait. No, there was one, and they were both food related. Can I do underrated first?
Yes,
please. Will you allow it? Because
absolutely.
I remember it.
Sorry, I had to wait for a ruling from our judge, but yes, allow it, fam.
Allow it.
I appreciate this grace. I wrote down the word overrated instead of writing down the thing that I think is overrated. So when I tell you that my handwriting is in a hurry, maybe what's overrated is rushing. See how we rescue this situation? Mm-hmm,
there it is.
Is not taking your time.
Yeah.
Seems like I was getting there faster to write down my underrated, but you know what I did then? Was just wrote down the word underrated.
The word underrated.
So I also didn't write down the
word
underrated
is underrated.
Which I'm just very lucky that I happen to remember, because I decided on my underrated very quickly and had shuffled through a few overrateds now, which none of which I can remember. So don't rush. Rushing is deeply overrated. What is underrated? Celery. Celery, baby.
Okay. Tell me more.
I gotta agree.
Are
I
we
gotta
saying,
give a big second on this one.
Are we saying beyond our understandings as just like an easy dipping vegetable and something for the kids? And then obviously vital
vegetable?
To like, you know, your mirepoix or like other, you know, it's kind of foundational to your cooking? Tell me
we
more.
We are in soup season.
Yeah.
We did it. Mm-hmm. Here in this hemisphere, if your fridge is not stocked with some celery, you are missing out on a key component of making soup season a huge success.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus, I didn't know this. This is mainly garnered from an episode of America's Test Kitchen, so go back and look up what they had to say about celery. But for a long time, it was kind of the only green thing going in the winter. Celery was like a big deal on the holiday table because everything else was like stuffing, turkey, brown. You know, delicious, brown. So celery served this, like, there were special dishes to hold celery. Yeah. It was a thing.
Yeah, because celery's in a lot of the holiday dishes, like, just kind of thrown in. Yeah, and the stuffing.
It's one of those.
Chunks of celery in there.
You look at an old Titanic menu or something, and it'll be like, celery served seven ways.
Right.
Like, why?
Yes.
Because people would have been like, oh,
it's
seven
the only
ways.
Thing that's alive.
Seven! Creamed! So, yeah, it was a champion vegetable. I think it's unsung now. I heard the mention as a kid snack, and it is a delicious kid snack, but groans, don't sleep. The celery is delicious. It will serve you well.
I love a celery. Yeah.
I rely on ants on a log more than I should as a parent, you know, to get my kids to eat some calories when they're like not wanting to eat whatever thing I made badly for them.
Oh, but we never as adults find ourselves in that situation.
Right.
Have we ever gone through a day lacking calories or energy because we didn't do something simple like wolf down some celery with peanut butter smudged on it.
Well, so I do that now. I also make myself ants on a log. And my only complaint with ants on a log is it takes an entire like bushel of celery for me to feel satisfied. It's like,
oh yeah.
I didn't say it's the only thing you should
eat. Yeah.
Yeah,
I said filling. It's underrated, not that it should be your chance. Like, it's a big assist.
Wasn't there myth, or I don't know if it's true, but people were like, it's the one food that you eat that's like a net negative calorically.
I feel like iceberg lettuce is also on this list of things in the 90s they told me to eat in 17 magazine.
Yeah. When they're like, hi, we're not going to promote eating disorders in the traditional way. We'll just seed the ground with these subtle things like, hey, what about this? You know?
What if you ate celery and nothing else?
Yeah. But yeah, celery, I mean, yeah, to your point, like, I remember when I would eat it, like, I would eat, my mom would make French onion dip sometimes, I would eat it with celery. And she used to be like, stop eating half the goddamn tub with every bite of celery. I'm like, it's the only way I could feel filling. I'm like, I was using it as like a spoon, basically.
I got to make up for these net negative calories from the celery by offsetting them with net positive from the French onion dip, Mom.
Building my case that it is underrated. What an excellent conveyance. It adds crunch. It adds crisp.
Yeah.
It has flavor, but it's like chill. It's not loud.
It's nature's Tostitos scoops.
Oh, see? Nature's Fritos is Fritos. Fritos have three ingredients. Don't forget that Frito is a perfect food. I don't have to tell you that's underrated. Fritos should already be corn oil salt. It's an exquisite.
Oh, is that really
creation.
It?
Yeah.
That's impressive. And two of them are corn-based. How about that?
I know. And one is salt. It's really good.
Hell yeah. What is what's something you think is overrated?
Oh, well, rushing.
Rushing. We already did rushing.
Yeah,
okay.
Rushing. It's going too fast to remember what you thought about before writing down the word overrated instead of writing down the thing.
Yes.
That you thought was overrated.
Take your time. Take time with a wanted
hand.
And
well-executed mug lift gets you out of it.
Ooh, there you go. Oh, that mug is actually also a good mug to lift into frame because that's a beautiful mug.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Is that something you're making? No.
I live in a place now, so when I have to get things, I get the things that I like think are good. I've lived for a long time like, well, this could be possibly disposed of in a year entirely by accident as I relocate to a new zip code for like 10 times.
Right.
But now I'm a bit more deliberate in my choices, hence cabinet suspension rails. And
right, exactly. Wow, you got a Yeti? Is that what you're sipping out of right now?
Yeah, that's a nice mug as well, Jack.
Got a Yeti? Oh, thank you. Yeah, bright yellow
that is
Yeti.
A lifetime, that's a buy it for life. That
buy
is
it for life.
You're never going to lose it.
I got the Rocky Mountain tumbler.
Oh, heck yes,
I bought it at CVS because it could fit 32 ounces, and I was going to a hotel pool party where I had to sneak in alcohol. Thank you so much.
You just walked up sipping on a giant tumbler, and they were like,
baby,
no question, sir.
I said it was water.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because I guess like that is... A thing
that's
that
the
people...
thing, because especially look when you say like a hotel, and then they're like, and then we have like a poolside bar, and like the drinks are $7,000. No, motherfucker, get your Rocky Mountain tumbler on, and then go to the room as you need to. You know,
yeah.
I don't want to put my parents on blast, but when you go on a cruise, booze can be very expensive. So can checking luggage. So they had essentially they just wore 7 days worth of clothes and checked the luggage full of booze to get on their cruise.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess. The 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again. The First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances. And the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And there's a hot new trend going around the tech industry, and that's firing thousands and thousands of your employees. Google announced that they're laying off 12,000 people, which is about 6% of their global workforce. And first of all, the market was immediately like, thumbs up, no notes, great job. And their stock price went up because that is the perverse system of incentives that we live within. And that, of course, makes the people making the decision to fire people instantly way richer when the stock price goes up, because that's where most of their net worth is tied up, or a lot of it, at least. But this is just the latest round of layoffs for tech workers. The other day, Microsoft announced they were cutting 10,000 jobs. Shortly before that, Amazon announced massive layoffs. And Google claims that their explanation is, we just hired a bunch of people during the pandemic, and now we're in a different economic reality, which...
Oh, a better one?
No, that's the thing. Like, this sort of bait and switch that corporate entities do, where they're always talking about, like, the financial outlook is bad, but then they never really, like, follow through when it's good on doing anything for anyone.
Right.
It's always just them announcing that the financial outlook is bad and then laying off people. Because remember, like, during COVID, everybody was like, it's a economic apocalypse. And now they're like looking back at that as like the good old days.
Well, because it got paid for, because the money just bled out, you know. Tracking where that went will be an amusing job for some finance students in the future, but it is. I bet that was the wild old days. You could send in a piece of paper and all of a sudden a bunch of money showed up, and then you sent in another one, and I guess it was fun. Like, there was, on a corporate level, it seemed like there was a giddiness about what was possible. Like, we could just fire everybody. We don't have to have offices anymore. Our stock is stable, but nothing else in the economy. Like, what is happening? I don't know. Unreplicatable. I don't know that it was. Corporate entities are like alive. They live forever, but they can't. I don't know that the virus affected them like it did human people.
They were like, they've weakened. It's time for us to get stronger and step up our takeover.
Oh, no. Terminator was worried about the wrong AI. It's corporations that are becoming sentient.
Oh, for sure. I've been saying that. Like, capitalism and corporations are the singularity. Like, they're the unkillable thing that is, like, ingesting all of the minds and intelligence and just using that to kill any challenger. But, yeah, massive corporations yearning for the good old days of the COVID outbreak, when all we heard about during the COVID outbreak was how fucked the economy was, is kind of a weird look. And people who speak the language of these people say it's, like, still a bad move. Like, it doesn't make sense to fire this many people, because you, like, a lot of times you're firing people who you just spent a bunch of money to, like, recruit and hire.
Right.
They say it's like buying high and selling low on your labor, because you, like, really, like, spend a lot to, like, recruit people, bring them in, and then
have, like, attractive packages to even get them to sign and stuff like that.
Yeah. And then because of, like, a temporary economic condition, you fire them. And then when things pick up again in 12 months, you are going to be spending a lot of money, like, trying to get that same quality or even sometimes those same employees back on your
payroll. The insanity of the amount of money companies will spend to pay humans less money.
Right.
It's out of control. It's in the... I mean, the same arguments get, like, housing is the same thing. The amount of money we spend to keep people homeless is wild.
Yeah.
Wild. It would be so much cheaper by every measure to just put people inside in like safe, nice places.
What are you trying to say? That it costs three times more in Los Angeles to deal with an unhoused person than if we spent the money to find a way to get them in permanent housing, which is one
third
of that.
And then more to jail them for being unhoused on top of that when we're just putting them inside for the profit of someone. Yeah, it is I mean, putting them inside, it's a statement I probably could have shaped more gracefully as these are people, but it is done for effect, I assure you. It is one of those, silly conundrums about capitalism that, like, you need society. It's why economic systems don't work in a vacuum because they're endless. They have no boundaries. They keep expanding, but we live on, like, a planet. Like,
right, that's fine.
You might know I do astronomy tours tonight. Maybe we've talked about that. I live in Joshua Tree now. I go out into the park with telescopes and I talk about space. So I think about this kind of stuff all the time. Like, it's one planet. It is so very small. We have a boundaried amount of resources. As much as Elon Musk might want to grab an asteroid full of gold, it is not a likely outcome for us in permanent resource development. It's very cool we can make oxygen on other planetary environments, but it's not like a sustainable model for life.
Yeah.
So the expansion of capitalism being limitless is one of those things that's very foolish. And then you need a society to decide, like, when profit doesn't win, like with housing, like with,
there's
a silly pickle.
Just to, like, on the broad scale thing, like, there's that statement by William Shatner where he, like, went to space and was like, and I looked back and I realized, like, space is bad out there. There's nothing out there for us. And, like, the Earth is this amazing, beautiful thing, which I was like, man, that's a really good point that he just made. And, like, I wish I don't know.
He said, he basically said, you don't want to be out here.
Right.
Yeah, he said, out here is different.
Exactly.
Appreciate what you got right now.
The Del Curry thread.
Yeah. Don't start thinking about out here because it is a deep.
Space is incredible. It is inhospitable to every way we have adapted as biology. Space isn't bad. We are just programmed to live in a certain type of environment, and space is different from that environment. We don't think about the fact that the atmosphere is like gas. We live in stew. Super rich, gassy goodness, and space just isn't like that. Our bodies are designed for a certain amount of gravity. Space just has, like, different. It's not bad. It's just different. But we're not going to do great there. So the inherent constraints are one thing, but then this, like, spinning off of costs is just madness, and it happens within capitalist environments themselves, where, like, they get fixated on a number, the penny-wise, pound-foolish game, where, like, labor costs money. So paying less in labor means we make more money.
Yeah.
But that is a ridiculous. It's
temporary
so provably false, and it repeats itself so often that you'd think we'll have learned the lesson from history, because it's like the eternal history of humans working for other humans has this balance of, like, a seesaw tipping back and forth where labor is oppressed, labor fights back, labor is oppressed, labor fights back. That wheel has been turning. It's turning right now. But and like, tech is an important place because tech is how we're talking to each other right now. It's how people communicate among the rest of the trade. Like, that's important labor. Those are important people with important skills that need to be helping us thrive.
Well, yeah.
But that backwards thinking that we can pay people less to make more doesn't work. It doesn't work.
But here's the thing. On the shareholder call, they're going to be like, well, what's the fucking deal? Because these other companies are axing people. Why aren't you guys thinning out
Hire
the books?
Them. Hire them all. Yeah. Hire them now. Hire them and pay them so they don't leave. Hire yourself 36,000 incredible employees and make your company incredible.
Which is so funny.
Give them the money.
Yeah,
and watch your stock price go down a little bit and realize, like, my day-to-day stock price is not, like, a way to run the fucking company. Like, that's...
Or,
like,
not.
Yeah.
If your plan is to eat the company alive and leave, that's one thing. But what if your stock goes on because that company is alive? It is going to live on too.
Yeah.
What if it kept making money past the 3 years that you pull the plug on it, drain it, and kill it? What if it actually over 30 years would give you so much more money that it's such as debt?
Nah,
see how
I'll
it doesn't
take,
work?
I'll take the money up front right now. I'm going to take the money up front
right now.
I'll take the money right now. I don't care about 30 years. I care about right now.
I'd give it all away for just a little more.
Right.
That's right. And so there is a Stanford business professor who said back in December that the real reason behind all these tech layoffs that, you know, that was before a lot of the ones we're talking about, but they had started. And he was like, watch this. They're all going to do this because everyone else is doing it. And that is how CEO brains work. That's how, like, the powers that be. Like, it's a bad decision. They're going to, like, you know, severance packages cost them money. Their unemployment insurance rates increase. Productivity drops due to low workplace morale. They're going to, when the economy picks back up, like, go spend a bunch trying to rehire these same employees. But tech companies are responding to the market only, basically. And they're just, it's so basic and just like,
yeah,
they engage in imitative behavior. Because it's like a big fucking social circle where, like, social contagion is like, yeah, well, I don't want people to be like, why didn't you do that? He did that. So that I have to do it to, like, hedge my bets, basically. Right.
That's how you get everyone in fleece vests. That's how you get the entire city of San Francisco in the Seattle. Same navy blue fleece with a blue collared shirt underneath.
Leather boat shoes.
That's right.
But I mean, it's wild because, again, like, to your point, right? Like, when Lula took office in Brazil, when he was like, yeah, man, we're going to tackle inequality and people starving, and the markets fucking sink because he articulates that, which, again, everything is just about the whole thing, which is ignore your human impulse to have empathy and to take care of a problem, because at the end of the day, we're all just becoming subservient to, again, the shareholder value, the stock price. And again, it's like this only leads to the fucking just, you know, consumption of every resource that we have. And then,
yeah,
like, emptying out our pockets and being like, is the jet here yet? Is the rocket here yet? And it won't be.
Yeah, that's why I brought up the Shatner thing, is because, like, the long game is like that. I feel like that statement was profound, and it also made me realize, like, they were like, he's suffering from a thing lots of astronauts like come back from space with, where they're just like, oh my God, it's so bad up there, you guys, we need to, like, fix all the problems on Earth. We have it completely backwards. But you never hear about that shit because, again, the whole thing is this vast, like, hive intelligence of capitalism that is only telling you the thing that is going to accelerate consumption and, like, create this overall narrative where we have to get off the planet and create more worlds to consume.
Right.
Essentially.
It's like being inconvenienced that, like, your roof has, like, a leak in it and you start building another house and you're like, wait, what are you doing? You're like, well, my other house has a leak in the roof. And I don't want to fix it. So I'm just going to build this new house.
That building, that second house, is so good for the economy. You don't understand.
Think of the amount of people you're going to employ by building another house.
Thank you.
Exactly.
But again, it's the, why tackle the issue? Like, why not tackle the issue of the faulty roof, which is doable, rather than being like, nah, fuck it. We're going all in on getting the fuck out of this house and building another one next door. Like, right.
Which will never leak.
Yeah. Like, what are you fucking talking about? It's like, just take the fucking time to fix it. It's manageable, but it just takes a different way of thinking rather than like, well, if I do that, then there's like, I just solve it right there. And then there's not some, like, continuous problem.
I saw
the
same house.
Yeah.
And you hit something, Jay. It is a poison because, like, wanting the idea that humans want to explore off the planet we live on is, like, as old as people.
Right.
Sure.
We, like, don't stop looking up. It has been put, like, that urge is pure. It is impure to think that we want to go there to take diamonds to bring back to here. Like, right. That is insane. That's so crazy. But the idea that we are explorers is not crazy.
And listen to the people who use this marvel of, like, space travel to go up there, get a perspective that only, like, a handful of humans ever get. And be like, yo, we are all fucking up. And, like, you can see it from up there. Like, somehow your spirit can, like, see it. And it's really bad. And
they pay. Their bodies they're strained. It's a long-term, what astronauts do has a long-term costs that we're getting better at understanding. But, like, it's not just bad for us. We're not designed. Every condition is not what we're designed for.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Well,
our little probies are getting good. Way to go, Perseverance. Keep looking for stuff in those rocks.
Yeah, exactly.
Show us life on Mars. I just want to see what happens. I just want to see what happens if we could find evidence of bacterial life on Mars. I just want to see what we do.
Yeah.
I think we're going to go a little weird.
We'll bring it back.
Oh, we're going to flip out. I'm so excited.
We'll bring it back and it'll wipe us out as it was scripted. Our hubris became too much.
Yeah.
Well, fuck yeah. Bring it home. Bring it home. Bring it home. Boom. All the fucking ecosystems are devastated. We're like, fuck.
Knew it.
I knew that was bad. It was probably bad.
They did. Like, that is a big thing. They do the quarantine after the moon landing. Like, they were like,
those tubes are the cleanest things that we've ever made. The tubes on that little Mars rover are clean, baby clean, and they are getting sealed up. They stay in space for like a while.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't fuck around. Well, and then I did want to, you know, just follow that story up with a story about why that will be the last time that we ever talk shit about rich people or corporations, because now they are suing us.
Yeah. not us specifically, but they're going after people who like to connect the dots out loud on the influence of money. Yeah, yeah. And Beto O'Rourke, or also known as Skateboard B, is being sued.
Is he known as that?
I just decided to do that as a Pharrell reference, but we know he gets down on that skateboard. We saw him get down in that Whataburger parking lot. But, you know, he's being sued by this natural gas magnate in Texas. Why? Did he do something criminal? Oh, he pointed out the fact that the natty gas pimp gave Governor Greg Abbott $1 million right after the governor signed a bill into law that created a loophole for natural gas operators to be able to opt out of mandated winterization of their infrastructure.
Well, what does that even mean? It's not like that could ever harm anyone.
I know. What do you mean?
Winterization. Oh, what, do I have to put chains on my tires?
Texas.
Who gives a shit?
What could winter be like? How bad could winter in Texas be?
Thank you.
Did anything bad happen a couple of winters ago where properly winterized infrastructure could have prevented the death of hundreds and loss of power for millions?
Unregulated costs led to the absolute robbery of people trying to not die in their homes?
There was in 2021. And then Abbott signed a bill like a few months later that made it seem like he was addressing the issue of like the winter storm. And he was like, I want to make it look like I'm advocating for Texans by saying, we actually have to get serious about mandating the proper winterization of infrastructure and like not allowing these operators to price gouge people. But again, he left a loophole for the natural gas gang. Which is why the Texas Tribune points to the natural gas operators as, quote, the primary cause of outages during that time. So what the fuck is going on? And what is this distraught man to do for Beto O'Rourke saying things like this guy's influencing the governor or bribing him? Oh, well,
so he just pointed that out, the Greg Abbott thing. He was just like, this bill was fucked up.
Yeah, he's like, look at it. He's like, he's carving out loopholes for his buddy. This guy gave $1 million. You think this isn't connected? This is directly relates to his business and way of making money. And this is the kind of corruption where it got, you know, like any person who's like running for office with that sort of set of ideals is going to articulate. Well, his lawyers now are saying like, well, you know what? They said this natural gas tycoon experienced, quote, mental anguish from comments, ads, and social media posts in which O'Rourke's campaign suggested that the money was a reward for Abbott going easy on him. Wow. What else? Tell us what else, honey. Let's soothe your wounds. Quote, Beto O'Rourke told millions of his followers that Warren engaged in bribery, corruption, and extortion, and that he profited from the death of his fellow Texans simply because Mr. Warren gave a perfectly legal campaign contribution to the candidate of his choosing, Governor Abbott. When you look at the comments that his followers put in on his tweets, they believe him. They believe that Mr. Warren is a criminal that is engaged in profit over the lives of Texans. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So your profits, see, the reason is if you spent the fucking money to properly protect your infrastructure and prevent the power outages for people, which wouldn't have led to their deaths, and you know,
after
you, it seemed
the
like,
fact, after the people, that's the wild thing. Is
he's
that
like,
this
why
was not
it?
Like a thing where it was like, hindsight 2020, we would have really addressed that fucker. They are doing this and like paying him millions of dollars campaign contribution after their fuck up has already led to people dying, has already led to like a national news, like just disaster, like something that everybody was talking about. And they're like, yeah, okay, so the next thing we need to do is make sure that nothing, no consequences are ever felt from this.
Right. Like,
I don't know. I'm looking for some silver lining, Karen. And remember that our perfectly balanced judicial system is, it runs on a system of precedent. Mm-hmm. Now, if we could establish a precedent that mental anguish is enough to sue a politician for, then perhaps we're onto something here. Maybe even corporate. I've experienced mental anguish from every overdraft fee that I've ever experienced. Maybe a little class action suit in that direction is in order. I've experienced, you know, mental anguish. I remember when, you know, when I was in college and I had to get all those loans because, like, we made tuition and student fees in the California public university system. I remember that being quite a source of mental anguish.
Yeah,
right. Maybe the 500,000 students a year that were in school with me in the state of California would like to get together and see if there's a little something we can do to compensate ourselves for what we suffered. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I just...
Yeah, but
mental anguish, God,
if we could start suing people for mental anguish and the...
I just think that maybe we're onto something here, the mental anguish.
And if the judicial system wasn't run by billionaires.
Yeah, right.
We'd Wait, be in business.
Hey, you never know. Let's open the doors. But again, like many people are saying, like, obviously it's a bullshit slap lawsuit and it's, you know, meant to chill the speech of candidates or anyone who's wanting to point out that we live in this fucking oligarchy. So, you know, there's that. And it could be a great blueprint for other, you know, very sensitive earth fuckers who don't want to hear people accurately describe their actions. But yeah, it's a little
kind of a dystopian 1984 flip the language vibe.
Yeah.
You told the truth about me, so I'm suing you. It's just an interesting 100%. State to be in.
And yeah. I mean, when you also look at it, too, this guy, like this gas guy, like he's making sure everybody's paid. You know what I mean? Like Ken Paxton, the attorney general after the storm, he's like, we got to look into these gas companies, man. What the fuck was that storm about? It looks like they were gouging. The price gouging was out of control. But since then, he's refused to say, like, what's going on with that investigation. And then if you look at the donations, the same guy, Kelsey Warren's given at least $200,000 to Paxton throughout his career. So it's like he stays on the good side of him. And then also the Texas Railroad Commission, which is the body that oversees like oil and gas and stuff in the state, you know, and like talks about price caps and things like that. He's given like over $390,000 to like Texas Railroad Commission candidates in the last decade. So, you know, I mean, if anything, it's just one of these weird things where you see how it works. But again, they're like, well, you have to prove the intent in court.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like he was just giving to like, and it's this nebulous language that is allowed to for them to have a defense. They're going, I'm merely participating in the civic process here and just giving money to a preferred candidate without really, you know, but we're not going to actually analyze what that means.
Right.
And I think that's what this lawsuit could end up boiling down to. Anyway. He's being, Beto O'Rourke is being sued for $1 million.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I think Beto O'Rourke's just mad. He's not a baller like this guy, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's what this guy was saying. He's like, it's just all these haters, they hate that we're ballers. And what's the problem?
People call this alpha versus beta. I feel like Chads are finally stepping up to assert their dominance in court, which it's about time. I can see by the visual representation that this is the apex of the white male.
We're not getting much higher
after
this.
Every billionaire looks like flaccid wet sausage, but it's just something that happens. Ooh. I guess when you have that much money.
Speaking of flaccid wet sausage, we got a fucking flaccid wet sausage all-star.
It's
coming
true
up in
I scrolled down
story.
To look at this guy's picture and I misunderstood. I saw a photo in the document which you so kindly prepare for guests. There you've included a photograph of a certain gentleman, and I mistook him for a billionaire because he has billionaire body.
Yeah.
Which is about the compliment I could give him, which I think we all recognize is not praise.
And he has like he has like that vibe, like when you're so privileged, like you still look like a baby because you've never had to live still. Like you still
he
have your
like
baby.
He looks like the coach you're not surprised to hear the stories about.
Yeah, right. 100%. Oh, with his haircut, that dodgy haircut.
The haircut is
oh
amazing.
My God. It looks like, yeah. Mm. I it's, got it.
Who's the owner of the Raiders who has the bowl cut?
Yeah.
That Al Davis?
With the haircut.
Yeah. Wait, not Al Davis?
Yeah, Al Davis is, I think it's Al Davis's son, maybe?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's got that really wild edge up. Like, he's got a Caesar with bangs.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah.
Caesar with bangs.
Like real, real aggressive. Real aggressive.
Bring it all to the front. Yeah.
I guarantee he wasn't like, give me an edge up. But yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. The person I'm talking about is Mark Davis, Al Davis's son. So worth looking at him and the gentleman we're about to talk to when we come back. Not talk to, talk about.
No, we got him. We got him.
We got him on the line. Got him on the horn.
Love your worldview, man. Got to have you on the show.
All right. We'll be right back.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess. The 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again. The First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances. And the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And woo-hoo! State houses, where all the good shit is going down these days.
Yeah.
In the wake of the 2020 election, all the state houses were busy finding ways to rat fuck elections since their whole idea has been stop the steal. And then after the 2020 midterms, it seems like the Republicans' new obsession is the continued dehumanization of the LGBTQ community.
Nothing to worry about there. Never a harder thing to come.
Yeah, yeah. Don't. We got rampant anti-Semitism, homophobia. Yeah, yeah. This all ends. This is all going to end well.
Yeah.
But like, as it stands, right, there have been over 160 bills introduced in 2023 that are meant to discriminate against drag shows or trans people. They're fucking like, they're putting the pedal to the metal. One particularly stupid bill comes from the aforementioned dickhead from North Dakota.
It looks like he's wearing three hair pieces. I don't mean to come for the man, but I'm saying that most of the trans community could really help. We know how to lay a wig, baby.
Like
this, on this side of the rainbow, we can just let us fix it.
You are serving Mark Davis. So.
Yeah, you're serving. Yeah. You're serving a white man cosplaying as Maya from Pen 15.
Yes.
But in the worst possible way. Like, you're like, hold on, what the fuck is this vibe?
I mean, that anyway, is a horrible insult to Maya from Pen 15.
But... I mean, it's a bowl cut. You know what I mean? Maya, look, she's not tripping. I just saw her. We're all right. But that's it. So that this man's name is David Clemens, and he just introduced a bill that would generate $1,500 fines for using people's preferred pronouns.
Using their preferred pronouns would require you to be
And
fine.
What he means is that this would apply to any, quote, any entity receiving state funding, including a public school, an institution under the control of the State Board of Higher Education, and a state agency or office. They're basically saying, like, if you spend the time to acknowledge someone's pronouns, you will be fined. Cool. We're only going to be just completely... We're not respecting anybody or any or what how who they are as people. That's the fine quote. And again, he goes even further in the event that these bigots have like terrible gaydar or like, you know, a way to suss people out. He said, quote, if sex, gender or gender identity or gender expression is contested, determination is established by the individual's deoxyribonucleic acid.
Cool. So DNA testing.
Yeah, they're so good with that. Yes. Yeah, the state testing people's DNA on demand is something typically that people who favor less government control are like all about.
Yeah.
This aligns perfectly with the general philosophy.
Conservatism.
Yeah, absolutely. Nailed it, guys. For sure.
And on this, there's already like other advocates have pointed out. It's like, what if you like chromosomes aren't always straight up male or female?
Yeah.
So what do you, how are you going to even enforce this? This is just like some ignorant guy's thing of being like, well, if they don't like it, we'll test their blood kind of thing. And it's like,
for
huh?
what? Yeah. For girl? What are you talking
exactly.
about?
For girl. Like, and what if someone like an intersex person wouldn't have like a traditional DNA profile where they could be like, this is man, this is, or whatever it is. Again, this is so fucking backwards. And this is on top of other bills in the state that are already banning gender affirming care for trans kids or banning trans girls from playing sports. They're piling on all this nonsense. And even their own state judiciary committee said this bill was unlikely to work because it's written with tears and crayon and is also so poorly worded. They're even like, how are you going to enforce this?
But this is all their shit. Like all they're all based on like a fucking Facebook post. They didn't do any like follow-up research on. It's anytime you talk to one of these bigots, they're just their ideas are like paper thin. Their commitment is paper thin. I mean, their commitment is strong, but like they haven't like looked into any of this shit. It's just all based on something that their cousin fucking wrote on Facebook.
Yeah, this is not a winning formula. You know what I mean? For candidates in the midterms, it was only scoring culture war points on TV. Like this is like the plutonium rod that'll power the GOP to like, you know, like insane majorities. And again, they continue down this hate path full steam. I mean, not to mention like already like the dickheads in Congress are already bringing up a fucking fair tax bullshit again, where they want to have a flat sales tax to replace like every other tax we have. And another giveaway to like the wealthy that they're just like, they're just, you know, there's no real direction aside from create as much outrage as possible, score as many culture war points as possible, because actual legislating is far from a priority. It's just to create, I don't know, for whatever reason, they're clawing back whatever gains they felt were made by people who are not cishet Christians in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
It's just confusing. It's a confusing... I could look for indicators in other societies that have freaked out about this and then fallen apart, which is what happens over and over again. But the obsession about it is so virulent. Like, people are so angry about gender expression. I don't understand the anger or what it's actually about. It's like you're having, you know, on a grand scale, we're having a fight where we're screaming about a teapot. But if we were in the couple, we would know it's not about the teapot. Like, right. What is this about? What are you mad about? Like, I just don't quite get it. And this isn't like a coming out. You can look at me and know that I don't express gender along strong binary lines. I've never been DNA tested. I have no idea what the results would be. I'm like woman with big air quotes. I just fall somewhere in the middle. My gender expression is Leatherman. Like I have cargo pants. Like I'm just somewhere floating in a purple
it's
space.
It's Lowe's. Yeah.
Like if, and I feel like a coward sometimes. If they was in popular usage, that's probably what I would use. But I'm not interested in engaging in a linguistic fight. I see it more as just like clumsy English than anything else. Like other languages are better at expressing. The fact that gender is part of language is very funny and weird anyway. I don't care, right. But it's terrifying.
Right.
I travel less and I do live in a conservative area now, but like I'm aware of being clocked in just this way that I know people walk away around with in a, because, you know, their expression means that folks are eyeing them down and they're so mad. I don't know.
Well, I think because everything we see is, it's trying to reset the scales so like white cis het Christian hegemony is maintained, and every group we now offer consideration towards is another group these people see themselves having to bow to,
right?
Because they're not, they didn't used to have to bow to be like, oh, I didn't realize about systemic racism. Oh God,
just not shoving someone in a bathroom, is that submission?
Well, I think, again, for them, it's like, why do I have to now consider pronouns? What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I'm at the top of the sociological food chain where I shouldn't have to, my consideration shouldn't go downwards ever. I'm here, y'all fucking deal with it. And so what, now I have to be mindful about, what white supremacist policies have had in this country? No, I'm not fucking doing that. That's bullshit. I don't want to talk about critical race theory. What you're saying, now I have to defer to somebody because they said that their gender expression is this, that, and the other. No, I'm not doing that. It's everything's, yeah. I'm not doing that. I'm not extending my empathy towards these people. So now the natural instinct is to, well then, man, vaporize the fuck out of them. Like start making it the law that actually considering them is illegal, that studying critical race theory is illegal. And again, we're not even saying this was even being taught to fucking children, but they're putting laws on the books to be like, don't even fucking talk about AP African American studies in Florida. It has no value. It has no value to me.
There's a leak, build a new house.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It has no value to somebody who is not, who their only goal is to say, I'm only looking for reminders of my power as a cishet white person in America. If I have to say I'm sorry to someone, no, we're fucking up.
Yeah. The entire civilization was built around their ignorance for decades, you know? Like, it was like, we've just, what is polite is whatever you are comfortable with as a cishet white man. And
ooh, that gave me the shivers.
Yeah. And holy shit.
That's another. I'm sorry. I just put a picture on of another legislator from Mississippi who was, again, trying to ban doctors from providing gender affirming care. And this guy looks like literally what you just talked about, Jack. Someone who's built in the fires of ignorance.
Yeah. And will fight for every opportunity to make sure he's allowed to stay ignorant, keep his children ignorant, and make sure nobody ever pushes his hair back to see where his hairline actually starts, because he's got the wild floppy bangs that like come down into his eyes in a way that I'm not fully buying.
Yeah, but I mean, but this is where we're at. We're watching in real time the legislative manifestation and at every level of clawing back this sense of like dominance.
Yeah.
And that they're trying to recreate a world that's like fucking Jim Crow era shit, which is like, I don't know. Yeah, that's them. Then that's their thing. That's not my problem.
Right.
And I'm not, and I don't need to begin thinking, I have to make considerations in my day to day life about people I'm not really not been exposed to or educated on and I'm ignorant of. So the natural reflex isn't to learn or to open my heart. It's to close it down and figure out how I can legislate my way out of learning anything else.
Yeah. And we live in a, you know, civilization where the rewards go to these people. Like, they still go to those people. This guy's in fucking Congress. Like, the guy you just showed a picture of is, you know.
That hits. on Showtime right now is a pretty good documentary about the Attica prison riot, which I didn't know a lot about. So I was glad to get some better insight in, but it is a pretty inhumane response to people asking to be treated like humans. And
I mean,
the folks with the boots wore those boots right on out of that prison, back to their homes, back to their families. And the people inside the prison died. It was, you know, people spoke out to ask to be treated like people. And those folks who spoke out were specifically targeted and taken down. It's such a stark, I think perhaps some of, when I look at history and civil rights in the United States, I wondered why this prison riot hadn't made its way to the forefront in the way some other events had. And it is almost because some other events have a deeper degree of subtlety.
Right.
Like talking about who can ride the bus has a more humane level of subtlety. The Attica prison riot is on the nose in a way that leaves you with a nosebleed. And that's important because things are as it was, you know. We can have a debate in a classroom about that period of history. Debate isn't the right word, it's not a debate. But, you know, you can talk in a classroom about buses. It's really hard to talk about what happened in that place and the lack of aftermath, sort of the fact that nothing changed. It's a worthy watch if you want to, you know, just get gutted, have your eyes shat upon by the truth.
Truly.
Yeah, there's so many stories like that. We should just do a whole series that's just like the stories that you will hear from American history and be like, holy shit, why isn't this the first thing they fucking taught me? Like, there's an episode of the Dollop. There's an episode of the Dollop about the Boston bus riots that is like the most damning thing about like how racist Boston is, and just like massive, you know, race riots started by, you know, wildly racist policies and racist people in Boston. And it just doesn't get brought up. It's like not a thing that you learn about in school.
I think, to Caitlin's point, it's always the ones that are so obvious that you talk about. You know what I mean? Like I didn't know the police dropped a bomb on people in Philly
until
I was 30.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, wait, what?
Huh? A bomb.
B-O-M-B bomb. Off a helicopter? What the fuck? Really? You know what I mean? And it's and you look at everything and you're like, oh my God, these, that just looks like an extension of all the other terrible racist violence we've seen that we were supposedly moved past. But, you know, it keeps popping up in these other ways. But yeah, woof. We'll see. It is interesting to see how we look back at this period. Because, you know, anytime the society lets a group become vulnerable and, you know, they begin picking away at it, that's truly the beginnings of some even more awful shit. And we've been experimenting with this same way of doing business for fucking ages now. So it's like really disheartening. The one thing I will say is that with that one specific bill in North Dakota, a lot of people came out to like oppose it. Not one person came to like support the bill at all. And even like the people in that committee were like, yeah, this is not going to pass, but it's still going to the Senate floor for a vote.
Yeah.
Like in North Dakota. So again, we'll see, but this is all part of these people wanting to keep up the regularly scheduled programming of saying like, hey, we can legislate our way to the top again by dehumanizing and othering our fellow human
North Dakota,
beings.
This is my plea. If I understand correctly, you are the least touristed state in the nation. And if that's not true, I apologize. But also, look at what just happened in your state house. We all have a lot to talk about. But I am pretty sure in North Dakota that not enough people come to see you. I'm pretty sure it's South Dakota that has that mountain with the people on it. And that's what everybody goes to see. You, North Dakota, are sitting there full of beautiful spaces that could be full of gays and their dual income, no kid lifestyle. Imagine the resort properties. Imagine the tourist dollars that you could draw in with those snowbirds. I'm just saying, you're missing where the money is. Fan shows, people just throw money. Did you know that at a drag show where the trans is dance, people literally just throw American dollar bills at one another? I'd just bring that money in.
There you go. Caitlin, as always, truly a pleasure having you on the show. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
At Garen T-shirts, of course, I also made 420 Day Fiancé, grab a T-shirt,
yeah.
An amazing podcast in addition to this one that you should check out and enjoy. Otherwise, I am not online and it's beautiful. So my T-shirts, that's where I'm at.
There you go.
Get the designs where they're around. Otherwise, enjoy International Shorts featuring Jennifer Connelly and every other talented performer featured there.
And is there a work of media that you've been enjoying, movies?
Yeah, I've been ignoring Twitter since we had to let the sink in, but I let that sink in. Sorry, I got the pun wrong because it's just so
it's such a funny
bad
joke. Yeah,
but I'm gonna give it up. I thank Alice Wetterland for pointing me this direction. I have been indulging in scrolling through Reddit, specifically just the Reddits that I have subscribed. I'm just a home girl, mm-hmm. So I see a lot of plumbing, a lot of electricity, a lot of home improvement, and a lot of curled feetsies. So if you want to see some animals with their feetsies all curled up, I highly recommend that you go check out Reddit's Corner Curled Feetsies to see. It's mostly cats, and I understand there was some tension about downvotes given to other animals with curled feetsies, but it has been clarified within the community that any animal with cute curled feetsies is allowed for submission. So mainly cats, but a variety of animals with their feetsies curled.
I love
highly recommend
feetsies quirk. I love it.
You know when their little feet just flop over because they're relaxed, so that one little joint that is neither elbow nor wrist nor knee flops.
I like too when cats sit under their feet and they look like kids. They look like little chickens.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it's called? That's called Batmobiling.
I have a black cat, so we call it Batmobiling.
Wow, I have a black cat too. I'm gonna call it Batmobile.
Looks like the little Batmobile, right? All curled up with her little haunches up, big back wheels.
Whoa, and her yellow eyes. Say less.
Vroom, vroom. Exactly. We have the same cat.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Like Caitlin said, you can also find me on 420 Day Fiance with Sophie Alexandra. And also Jack and I have a basketball podcast called Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Okay. Let's see. And the tweet I like, is from @Richard_normal who tweeted, I think my most misogynistic belief, and I apologize in advance, is that I've noticed that. And again, I'm sorry to say this. Sometimes women don't finish their cans of sparkling water as frequently as men do. Mm. And that was his take. Mm. And I've, as somebody who, I don't, the thing is, I don't even finish my cans of sparkling water. I think it's this affects everybody the same way. Although Her Majesty loves to leave around like loose half cans of sparkling water. Yeah. I think there's something
notorious for the one sip ditch. So I have no stake in this argument.
How do you feel? How do you sip? Because like, I get it too. Sometimes I open a can, I'm like, oh shit, I need this. But I only really needed the sip.
Yeah.
And then I'm like,
that first big sip that hurts.
Yeah.
And then you put it down and then you go, it burns. It burns so good.
And then I'm like, I'm going to leave it on the kitchen counter. I'm going to get back to this can.
Of course I am.
And
of
then
of course I'm going to finish this can and not open another one.
Which is funny. This is also how I came across the thing about Jack when I used to say, leave a half opened passion fruit LaCroix in your car and it'll smell like a new car. That's again, straight off of me not finishing fucking cans of fucking sparkling water. I feel like this is everybody. This is everybody's problem.
It's not my problem. My problem is the opposite. I drink everything that's in front of me. That's why I can't drink alcohol.
Completionist.
I drink so much so fast. I am a thirsty man all the time. And if you put anything in front of me, unless it's room temp water, which I can kind of take or leave, but basically anything cold, I will drink it. So fast,
I'm gonna drink all the room temp water. We're good. You can have everything icy or too hot. I'm gonna be right in that room temperature.
I think it also has to do with the fact that I'm so sweaty that like my body is just naturally like ever since I was young was always just like gotta get more fluids. Go. So I can win chugging contests of lots of varieties, and it's not something I'm proud of. It's just a fact. Matt Lieb tweeted, love clicking on the new For You tab so I can hear from both sides of the Are Jews People debate. shout out to Matt Lieb. Thank you for your service. Stepping in for me when I was doing lunch day at my kid's school, which was lovely. Appreciate y'all. All right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Hey, Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Oh, I think it's time to do some rapping, but some Japanese rap from this MC, Miso Extra. She's like dope. She's rapping in Japanese, so I don't expect people to know the lyrics, but this track is called Great Taste. I think the production's super dope. The flow is super cool. And yeah, for anybody who's trying to get into, you know, some new kinds of rap, you know, from the other side of the pond, check out Miso Extra.
You like that name? Miso Extra?
I mean, the thing is, she's Japanese, you know?
Yeah.
Do whatever the fuck you want to do. You know what I mean? If you're going to lean into that shit, it's funny because, like, on her website, the font is like Cup of Noodles, too. So, you know, I'm not sure what the nuances of your artistic oeuvre, but yeah, it's Miso Extra.
There was a sushi place by where I used to live in Santa Monica called Miso Fishy. And
oh, yeah, I remember that place.
I just bothered me a lot that was what they went with, because first of all, it's a play on miso horny, I think, right?
Of course.
And then fishy is not what you want your sushi to be.
Sushi, right? No, that means it's straight up shit.
That means that fishy is like bait. It's like a bait shop. That's what.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll allow my bait shop to be fishy.
Yeah.
What's that?
I think that's making fun of what, like, this is what you want, isn't it? You right. Want it to say miso horny, and don't you? All right, so this is called Phuket Thai now. That's what we're going to fucking call it. Are you happy? Are you happy?
Here you go, right. Assholes.
But, oh, so just a background. She was born in Hong Kong, Japanese mom, English father. Okay. Said, my mom has always raised me with the pride of being Japanese and taught me to really embrace that side of my culture. A huge part of that is actually being able to speak Japanese, and I'm proud of the fact that I'm able to occupy a dual space, and it's in my DNA. Yeah, I heard that part. You're forced into not being one thing, and that translates into other aspects of your personality, and that she calls it the miso verse. So she's kind of an out there creative.
Cool.
I like it. But yeah.
I love it. All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.